Crack-a-lacka.
There's no arguing with the judge.
We are editing this entire segment out of the podcast.
I apologize. I will flagellate myself later.
I hope you come up with something good.
All right, this is going to go great.
How now, brown cow?
Red leather, yellow leather.
What's the haps?
What are the haps? You're listening to A Little Nonsense, where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I'm your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, are my boon companions, Sean Keller.
I don't know why I have been wearing my headphones this whole time.
Yeah, I don't either.
It's only to hear you guys, but you're in the room with me.
I did the same thing for the most part.
Hi, how you guys doing?
And Mike Barreto.
What's up, guys? That was my voice you heard a moment ago.
We are still all in the same room in Louisville, Kentucky.
Woohoo!
In a lovely Airbnb that Mike and I rented.
The address is...
This is a live podcast. Come on by and hang out with us.
Yeah.
All right. At the top of the episode, we're going to be going to Mike.
All right. Thank you, Joe. So for our first topic today, I'm going to go with something involving the idea of reincarnation.
Ooh.
Yes.
That was nerd boners again.
Yeah. This is a spiritual boner.
Mm. My favorite type of boner is the spiritual boner.
Spirit boner.
This segment is brought to us by one of our sponsors. Birthday parties, weddings, retirement parties, bar and bat mitzvahs, even funerals. Yes, every occasion can be hilarious when you hire a clown.
Funeral.
But in a post-Yellow Pages world, how do you find a clown? You can Google clowns, but once you're sick of clown porn, you're right back where you started. Introducing Clown to You, the all-new clown hiring smartphone app. In minutes, you'll see clowns in your area and be able to read reviews from past customers, making sure that you find the clown that's right for your occasion. Once you find your perfect clown, you can hire them right then and there in the app, and your clown will arrive at your location anywhere in the world in less than 15 minutes, guaranteed.
You need a fast
clown. I didn't know there were so many.
Clown to You has heard your customer feedback and would like to acknowledge the software bug that will occasionally and randomly hire a clown to your exact location. At any time of day or night. Without any action taken by you, or indeed any way to stop it.
Oh my god.
Want to know where and how to download Clown to You? It's already installed on your phone. Back to you, Mike.
Wow, that got dark.
That ad is going to stick with me for a very long time. I feel like I'll be laying in bed tonight, lying in bed, thinking about it.
Who needs a clown so often that you'd want an app for it?
You don't?
Who's ever needed a clown?
It's already on your phone.
That's right.
Can't do anything about it.
And there's one on its way.
Oh my god, who's that at the door?
All right, guys. We're going to talk about, we're going to ask a question about reincarnation here. Okay, so you discovered that karma and reincarnation are totally real.
Fuck.
Totally real. If you can't come back as a human, I'm excluding a human, what do you want to be? And do you think you'll need more karma or less karma to be that thing?
So are you saying that, like, how does karma factor into this exactly? Because I feel like what you're saying is that karma is a form of currency that you can purchase upgrades to be something awesome, but how do we know how that works?
Well, the idea is that based on your karma, positive or negative, so, you know...
It's also worth noting that in the Buddhist tradition, right, all karma is bad.
Okay.
That you can only have karma or have... no karma, and none is good.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So for this game, let's say that if you have good karma, we can say that's less karma, yeah, if we're using the original traditional definition of it. There are varying degrees of things you could be reincarnated as. Like some animals are just, it'd be more fun to be this than something else. So like if you have bad karma, you might come back as a cockroach or something.
Okay.
If you have good karma, you might come back as an eagle. You know, I mean, something like that.
Right.
If it's not going to be a person, since I'm precluding persons.
I I would want to come back as a dog.
Damn it, you took my answer, you son of a bitch.
I think dogs, I feel like, have an emotional connection with people.
Sure.
Dogs have a pretty sweet life. I mean, depending on who your owner is, or if you even have an owner. But for the most part, a well-tended dog is going to get exercise and eat well and have table scraps. So occasionally getting to experience human food. You know, everyone loves you no matter where you go. It's like no one's ever not excited to see a dog, right? Unless you're like a big, scary looking dog.
It is really dependent on your owner, though.
It is. So say that you have no owner and you're a dog. You're still capable of, like, surviving and, you know.
Not really.
No? You don't think so?
No. I mean, not unless you're a wild dog.
Right. Well, that's okay. So I'm sort of thinking of it binary. I'm thinking if you're a wild dog, you can, you know, fend for yourself.
But if you're domesticated, you don't need to. If you're a wild dog, that's like, you know.
I suppose. But I think I'd be willing to take that risk if I just had to choose dog. Now, I would choose domesticated dog if I could. But if I'm just being reincarnated into a dog, I would say, I want to be a German Shepherd, and there's a good chance that if I'm a purebred German Shepherd, I'm not going to be a fucking wild dog. Someone's going to want me, or I'll be on a police force or something.
Well, a German Shepherd, by definition, is not a wild dog.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
I mean, if one got out,
could be. But so how specific can I be then? Can I say, I'm going to be a German Shepherd, or do I have to say,
yeah, totally.
I'm going to be a German Shepherd.
There you go.
Everyone's going to love me, and it's going to be amazing.
I actually think dog is a great choice. They seem to be like the happiest, all they seem to know is love.
Yeah.
At least with the right owner.
Sure.
Right. You know, there are horror stories obviously about dogs. Yeah. So
but you can shit anywhere you want and people like pick it up.
But to the second part of the question.
That's going
to
be the case with a lot of animals.
Well, no, you don't. I mean, if you're like a goose, people don't pick up your shit.
I mean, they might if you shit in their house.
Well, that's true of humans.
Yeah, I'd probably pick up goose shit in my house. But do you think that you would need to improve your karma situation or take some hits in order to be a dog?
I think all of us could probably improve our karma situation, but I don't think that I'm a bad person. I don't think that I've like wronged people. I feel like my karma situation is pretty good. I can certainly be self-centered and narcissistic, and I've got negative qualities. But when it comes to treating other people the right way, I feel like I'm honest with people, and I'm there for people emotionally. And I feel like my karma's probably okay to be a dog.
But do you think so? You think that a dog is just karmically higher being?
That's such a weird question.
I know. Yeah.
Do I think a dog is karmically higher than I am right now?
Yeah, do you need more or less karma? So you have to reduce.
No, I think I'm okay. I think I'm right in line with a dog.
All right. Joseph?
I think I would like to be an owl.
That's a great choice.
Turn your head
you
all
guys,
the way
you
around.
You guys are taking my fucking answers. Right? Owl, like, okay, no, dog, cross that off. Owl, cross that off.
Mike's going to say, I'm a dragon.
I think I have a lot of raptor-like similarities.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would enjoy just kind of doing my own thing, you know, solitary existence, fuck all y'all.
Right.
Staying up all night. And I think I'm, considering how far I would believe owl to be compared to human, I think karmically I'm right in line with a bird.
Okay.
Because I'm a dick, so.
Owl's pretty high up there on the bird
list. Owl's high up there on the bird, but it's definitely below dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, in terms of karma, I think so. Yeah.
And I'm definitely a bigger dick than Sean.
Yeah. There was a lot of silence after I said that, guys.
Owls are big dicks. They are. They're supposed to be really awful pets.
They look like dicks. Like, look at their eyes. Like, they look like they have, like, down-sloping eyebrows. Yeah, exactly the face Joe's making right now. And Joe already eats mice whole, so he's halfway to being an owl.
Yeah, I throw up mice.
And he can twist his head around 360 degrees.
True.
Oh, my God, he just did it.
Ask me in any bar. I'll show you.
You have to buy him a drink first, though.
Several.
Maybe more than one.
And after he finishes the drink, he'll show you.
I don't drink.
Owls just look like cats with wings, basically. Like, their behavior is so similar to cats.
Their faces, though, they have a resting bitch face. Owls, for sure. Yeah. I've never seen an owl and been like, oh, he looks like he's in a good mood.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose.
And most people do believe upon first meeting me that I hate them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it works.
You've got resting owl face.
I've got resting owl face.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike, now that we've taken your answers.
All right, next segment.
No, who are you going to be?
Well,
and where are you at karmically?
I was thinking about it as you guys were talking, and...
Oh, rather than listening to us?
Yeah, I wasn't really paying much
attention
to it.
Someone's going to be a cockroach.
No.
I really legitimately did want to pick dog or owl.
Well, what kind of dog if you want to choose dog?
But I'm not going to pick either of those because that wouldn't be fair. So I'm going to say a sloth.
They're just so funny.
Oh my God, sloths are great.
You know what? I want you to pronounce sloth like David Attenborough.
That's kind of a... There's not much of an inflection on that. Sloth.
I believe they say sloth.
Sloth.
Oh, yes, that's right, yes.
The three-toed sloth. There's like four H's though, right? Sloth.
Yes, I would want to be the three-toed sloth.
Do they have butt cheeks?
They have very diminutive butt cheeks. Compared to the hominid, which of course has glorious glutes. Maximus... butt cheeks.
But I...
okay, I admit that was a good note to end it on.
I want to do a whole segment on butt cheeks.
Sloths are so funny, though. I love them.
They are, yeah, and they're so lazy. Well, I mean, they're not lazy. They're just, they appear lazy.
They're just so chill looking.
Yeah, they're so relaxed. That's
they're probably horrified all the time. But they just look really
everything's
chill.
So fast.
All right, guys. We're going to me next. Woo-hoo! And... I have a hypothetical question for you about aliens.
Ooh,
this is one
like
of our favorite things.
Kind of hypothetical.
Yeah, we like doing this on this show. Sean, what is this hypothetical question brought to us by?
Ethanol-soaked handkerchiefs.
What?
Biodegradable gun handles. An over-the-counter acid solution that completely disintegrates organic matter. All of this and more can be found exclusively at Joe Moracle's Fantasy Shop. Just like our founder, we specialize in identifying and exploiting our enemies' weaknesses. So if you're looking to purchase some highly questionable products to use for things, head on down to Joe Moracle's Fantasy Shop. We're cash only, and all of our cashiers are visually impaired. Joe Moracle's Fantasy Shop, located at revolving locations throughout the city, so you can't find us. And that's why we're the best. Joe?
That kind of does fall in line with some of Joe's recent ads.
You think so?
Yeah.
All of his ads, I feel like, when he's convicted of serial killing, then Jesus. We'll be able to use these as breadcrumbs and say, oh, he had an ad about, disappearing knives.
Yeah. That disappearing knife was something that I would never have even thought about.
Well, you can go to Joe Moracle's Fantasy Shop. If you can find it, they got great products.
All of my ads are for real products available at Joe Moracle's Fantasy Shop.
It has all been building to the reveal of his new enterprise.
All of this is 100% real. All right, guys. By the time this releases, this will kind of be behind the zeitgeist, but this is about the Area 51 raid.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Now, if the Area 51 raid had actually happened,
yeah,
and we found conclusive proof of extraterrestrial life,
mm-hmm.
would society survive as it is? What do you think would happen? Sean, let's go to you first.
Well, I first want to say that I would be shocked to know that anything of any significance is in Area 51, is what I was trying to say.
Sure.
If they had anything sensitive there, they surely would have moved it to another secret location. But do I think life would be any different? No, I really don't. I feel like there's a lot of weird, crazy shit that's happening that people just don't seem to care about because their Facebook post got 20 likes or they got a new, like on Instagram or whatever it is. I think that there would be some important people saying some important things, but do I think that any of the rest of the world would change? No, I really don't.
So other than there being some new shit on BuzzFeed,
right.
Everything would be, oh, there's aliens. Well, back to work.
Yeah. Not back to work, but it'd be back to my, current life, my millennial life where I don't care about big issues. Maybe that's a really... What's the word I'm looking for? Not negative.
Pessimistic.
Pessimistic and it's not sarcastic. What's the goddamn word?
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. And for some reason, it's eluding me as well.
Gravy.
Yeah, gravy. It's a very gravy way to look at things.
Okay, Mike, your thoughts?
Sorry, that's kind of a depressing view.
I tend to be more hopeful about that. And in my being hopeful, I also have to be somewhat negative because part of what drives us right now is fear of the other. And so a big part of the reason that we're killing each other everywhere and just fighting all the time and finding every little excuse to hate people, it's because of our probably on some level instinctive need for an other.
Yeah.
And once all of a sudden now you really do have something that's not just a different kind of or different looking person. It's a totally different species, and it's absolutely way more advanced than you are.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that in the spirit of hating them or
it'd bring us
fearing
together.
Them, I think that there would have to be a push toward advancing ourselves and unifying, because what if they came back and what if they, I mean, they must possess the ability to destroy us. You know, I mean, their technology has got to be way better.
They do, yeah.
So I think it would light a fire under people's asses. I think we would eventually, certainly a lot faster than otherwise, I think we'd come together. I like to think there wouldn't be panic because whatever's in Area 51 got there like 60 years ago.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't appear to be imminent danger, but I really hope that it would help us unite. Because as terrible as it is to have a fear of an other of any kind, it's actually totally natural to want to preserve your species. You know, wanting to preserve a race or ethnicity or something is ridiculous. You know, because we're all the same being. We're all the same.
Right.
We're all humans. Right. You know, we're all exactly the same.
We all have butt cheeks.
The differences between us are infinitesimal. I mean, animals couldn't tell the difference between two humans.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
if you go to China, humans can't tell the difference between two humans.
What are you talking about?
Just Chinese people.
All right. So, I think that our fear of the other or our desire to unite in the face of something that's legitimately different from us and possibly dangerous would bring us together, I think it'd be a good thing.
I think that would happen eventually, but I also think there would be a full-blown panic first.
Really?
Yeah, it wouldn't be everyone, because some people could handle it, but there would be enough people who are just scared to death, and that fear drives them to be reckless and stupid.
Yeah, I feel like you're probably right.
Yeah,
but
there would be full blown riots.
I personally feel like, oh man, I don't. Maybe I'm giving riots people too much credit. Then? I don't know.
What are people going to be like protesting or rioting for? They're just going to think the end of the world is here
because
we found
the thing.
Something that's 30 years old.
That's the thing is that it's 60. When did I don't remember when this alleged crash happened. It was like in the late 50s or
like
early
years
60s.
Ago?
50s, I think.
Okay, so the reason that I don't think there'd be a huge panic is because it happened such a long time ago.
Right.
It's not clear that there's going to be a follow up anytime soon. If it had happened,
but you're discounting that. The government has kept this secret from the people for 70 years.
I'm not.
So there's the added panic of what else are they keeping from us?
Yeah, but
I think it's all going to become a storm of just full blown. Oh my god!
Well, I hope not.
I think there'd be a short wave of that. I think people, initially would freak out for like 2 days, and then they'd be like, "Hey, did you watch the Kardashians?"
I fucking hope you're wrong. God.
I hope I'm wrong.
I hope he's right, and it's only a couple of days.
I hope he's wrong, and that
nothing changes.
Yes. I hope I'm wrong, too. I wish that I had your optimism about it, and but I just, I don't. I
would probably call it hope. Though I see the likelihood of what you're talking about, but I definitely.
And it is sad. If it were to happen the way I'm outlining, it would be super sad and depressing, but I just feel like that's what we're trending towards.
Yeah. And now here we are hoping that we're going to find bacteria in the water on Europa, and that's going to... I really hope that that makes a difference, and that's such a far cry from finding aliens.
I don't think that'll make a difference.
You know it won't, though, right? That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about.
The huge difference between basic cellular life and
intelligent
life on Earth.
Right. Absolutely. No, I hope it makes a difference.
Discovery.
Oh, it would be one of the biggest discoveries in human history.
99% of the human population wouldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
They wouldn't care. There'd be 100 really smart people who were like, this is the greatest,
it's a problem.
Everyone else would, it is a problem.
They found life in Europa. When's the next season of Peaky Blinders?
Yes, that's what...
Hasn't there always been life in Europe?
That was the only time I've ever wanted the bell to be hit for, George Costanza leaving on a high note.
That makes sense.
Always life in Europe. What is the... We can't move on until we come up with the word I was thinking of, because this is driving me fucking nuts.
Skeptical?
No, it's in that vein... No, I want to say it starts with an S.
I kind of feel like it does too.
I know, right?
Sexy.
Well, we're gonna sound like fucking idiots.
I know what the fuck. Like, come on, between the three of us, how
I honestly don't know what the fuck you're talking
about.
You
do though, but you will. And I can't move on until we do it.
Oh boy.
What do I Google? I don't even know.
Just Google skeptical synonyms, or just put it in Word and do an F7.
Skeptical synonym, dubious, doubtful, doubting, questioning. Cynical.
It is cynical.
It's with a C, but it sounds like an S.
Cynical is a little bit. Yeah, it's skeptical, but also kind of a little bit, kind of in bad spirits.
Yeah, it's like it's a negative appraisal of the situation. Yeah. It's like you have very little hope.
It's a skeptic who's a dick.
Yes, yes. Cynical is what I meant to say. All right, we can move on now.
All right,
I'm going to keep all that in the podcast.
Great, then I'm just going to give you a point. Sean, we are going to you next, though.
Oh, my God. I'm so happy. I'm happy, but unfortunately, I don't have something very compelling for this segment. All we're going to do today, gentlemen, is travel through time.
Oh.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. We're going to travel through time.
That sounds so not compelling at all.
Yeah, I know. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Bummer.
What is this traveling through time brought to us by?
The Presidential Mint presents the President Donald J. Trump commemorative $1 billion coin. Designed by the biggest patriots and minted at the most tremendous mint in the country.
Jesus.
The Trump $1 billion coin is 9 pounds of the shiniest and greatest coin metal available. It's the biggest money, the best money. People are saying it's unlike anything they've ever seen.
Oh, Jesus.
Some people think it should be more than $1 billion, maybe $1 trillion. Order the Donald J. Trump $1 billion commemorative coin today for $79.99. But order fast, because only 12 million of them have been painstakingly cranked out of an assembly line at that amazing mint I mentioned that's totally in America somewhere. Actual cash value, $4.86. Call now.
Oh, I love it. I love that the copy sounds like it was also written by President Trump.
It was not.
Oh, why? Well, surely.
It was written
course.
By the best copywriters.
Of course, yeah, the best.
Yes.
All right, guys. I've got a couple of audio aids to help us with this time travel mission.
It's a mission.
Here's the thing. This is episode 13, right?
Correct.
Well, 3 episodes ago, do you remember that hilarious ad that Mike did about the brand new musical that was coming back for a limited time?
Ah, yes. Hinga Dinga Durga.
Hinga Dinga. That's right. And I loved how hilarious that ad was. But did did you guys know that that ad couldn't have been possible without this moment right now?
Why is that?
Well, let me play a little clip here real quick.
But Hjalfursson's genius truly shines in the unforgettable Tony Award-winning a cappella duet, Bork, Bork, Bork.
All right. I remember that. Yeah, that's a good song.
Yes. And then, of course, there was this moment. Well, that's going to be a fun one to put music underneath, you son of a bitch. Going to have to write original songs.
I remember that as well.
Good, good. So what's going to happen right now is you two are going to create and perform the hit single from that musical, the a cappella duet, Bork, Bork, Bork. And that will go into episode 10, which is coming up, but it's also 3 weeks behind us. So we are time traveling.
So may I ask you, is it also going in this episode?
This creation of it is going in this episode.
And I see what he's talking about.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
we're
see.
Time traveling. The finished product will, of course, be in the ad that happened 3 weeks ago.
All right. Well,
wrap your heads around this one.
I should point out that there are, in fact, only three words in the song.
Yes, which makes it a little easier.
Indeed.
I'm also going to step away from the microphone right now, because really this is between you two to figure this out. And
there's actually only one word in the song. Sorry. But often repeated three times.
So I think we've got a good handle on the lyrics.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, we'll just have to work out the melody.
Yeah, we might have to be auto-tuned or something, I don't know.
No, I'll take care of it in post, but you've got roughly 10 minutes.
10 minutes?
Well, it's a segment. This is my segment.
But my ad is like 30 seconds long.
No, you got 10 minutes to create. All I need is like 10 to 15 second clip.
Okay. All right, let's wing it. Let's see what we can do here. All right, I'll start. Bork, 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 bork,
bork, bork, bork, bork,
bork,
bork, bork, bork, bork, bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork, bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork, bork, bork,
now, I think it needs to be less majestic. Can you guys make it more romantic?
Bork, bork, bork,
bork, bork,
bork, bork,
bork,
bork,
bork, bork,
bork, bork,
bork,
bork,
bork,
bork, bork, bork, bork, bork, bork, bork.
That's, boy.
Really good?
Yeah, that's what I was. That's one of the options of what I could have said.
Was it cynical?
It's not cynical. Let's try one.
I think we should get Mike. I think we should get you to participate a little bit in this. This is
not at all. No, this Mike. How about you take a back seat on this next take and let Joe take the melody? Because Joe's given you a lot of background harmony. Okay, so let's switch things up.
Bork, 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 bork.
I have to say, for people who can't see us right now, Joe's really getting into it. His whole body's undulating.
That was really good. That's gonna sound so good.
It's gonna sound so word. So insert a word there.
It's gonna sound incredibly cynical.
The words of Fjordens Bjork Halfvorsen come to life.
How about this? Here, let's Joe take on a melody again, and then Mike, you're not gonna say bork bork bork. You're gonna actually throw in some other words in that language in the background.
I don't know that language.
Exactly. And go.
Bork, 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 bork,
tinger, winger, binger. God, I think we're almost there.
I think you got enough.
We're almost there.
I think you got enough.
We're almost there. I think this next one.
I didn't realize we could do segments that didn't involve all three of us.
Yeah, well, we played a game where we got shocked.
Yeah, but that's a game.
Yeah.
Game is supposed to be two people.
But I'm involved in the segment. I'm giving you direction. This is my last direction.
You're probably going to record something for it.
No, I'm not.
It's going to be fucking amazing.
No, this is my last direction. Is I want you both. You both have the melody, okay? This is a duet. You guys are together. But I want you to start really soft and slow. It's really dramatic. And then it's going to build to a crescendo.
All right.
So you start off, so it can get faster if you want it to, but it's definitely going to get louder as you go. You got to really build this thing.
All right.
Here we go.
Let's go.
That's probably the one I'm going to use. Perfect. Congratulations, guys. That was wonderful.
That was hilarious.
Yes.
Wonderful.
Sean.
Yeah.
Time travel, my gents.
It was, that was really super time traveling.
Oh, you dick. All right, next we're going to Mike. Mike, what have you got for us?
So this next one is a question involving our guilty pleasures when it comes to the entertainment industry.
Ooh. Rule 34.
Not quite that guilty.
Nope.
Nor that pleasurable.
You know, this
are we gonna have a lot of people Googling that now?
Oh, I hope so.
This might actually be too short of a segment.
In fact, it's fine. Bing.
Let's do it.
Bing.
Yeah.
Use Bing to search for Rule 34. Thank me later.
This is why you're gonna be an owl. Couldn't get that dog karma.
Who is this segment brought to us by, gentlemen?
Ladies, are you single? Are you tired of going on date after date with loser men who look good on paper, but as soon as you go out with them, they insist that the Holocaust happened? If you're a horrible human hate tank ready to find the blonde-haired, blue-eyed neo-Nazi that will sweep you off your feet, don't wait. Join the dating site made just for you. Find me Mr. Reich. If you're single and ready to mingle with white supremacists, you don't have to spend another moment hoping for the man-shaped monster who shares your totally fucked up beliefs to enter your life. Your prayers to white Jesus have finally been answered. Join Find Me Mr. Reich today. Available on the dark web. Back to you, Mike.
Goose step right on over to Find Me Mr. Reich.
Jesus.
I love it. It's like Farmers Only or, you know,
yeah,
blackpeoplemeet.com.
I might not qualify for owl anymore.
I tell you, I tried Black People Meet, but it was just way too salty.
Jesus Christ. That took me longer than it should have, I think.
I definitely did get it right away because I'm a disgusting man.
That's right. So I like to think that each of us has pretty discerning tastes when it comes to entertainment, you know?
Sure.
I usually agree with you guys, you know, on what you like and don't like, except for Sean on video games.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Because I like sports games.
That's right. Yeah. So my question is, I know we all have guilty pleasures.
Yeah.
Maybe things you wouldn't admit to your nerd buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, so you want us to open up and...
I want you to share with me your most embarrassing or questionable guilty pleasure in terms of entertainment. And I'm not talking about porn, okay? I'm talking about just legit entertainment.
All right.
What is your most embarrassing or questionable guilty pleasure, entertainment-wise?
Can I share something that's not embarrassing?
It doesn't have to be embarrassing.
Listen, it's not embarrassing, but it is a secret that I've been keeping for a long time. Specifically from you two.
Oh my God.
I've waited for the right moment, and this seems like the perfect moment. Gentlemen, I've been playing RimWorld for like a year now.
Are you kidding me? I'm sorry. Hold on a second.
Hell yeah!
First of all, I don't care that it doesn't actually qualify in any way. But
high five, Sean.
When you say a year,
almost a year now.
You know that Joe started playing it less than a year ago. Why didn't you tell anybody?
You started playing it before I did.
Yes.
Here's what happened. Is that I had read about it. And I hopped onto the internet and I downloaded it. Legally. And I'd started toying around with it, and like days later, Joe, you started talking about it. And I was also at the time I was watching a YouTube series about a guy who was playing it.
I remember you talking about watching RimWorld.
I remember that too. Yes. And I was like, why? I literally had this thought. Why is Sean like so interested in this? Does not seem like a game that Sean would be really interested in.
I thought he looked it up based on what I said and then just got into watching the videos.
No, it was. That's what I thought too, but I was like, wow. Wow, he really got interested really fast in this game.
It seemed really interesting, and so I got it, but I was like, I think I'm over my head. Like, the last type of game I played like that was SimCity in, like, seventh grade. So I was like, man, I need to watch some videos and do this. So I had really, I just sort of started toying around with it as I was concurrently watching the videos. And then, Joe, you started talking about it.
Sure.
And so I was just learning and absorbing, and, like, I'd go in and tweak a little bit here and there. But I just – there reached a point when I was like – I decided that it would be funny to not let you know that I was also playing it. I was like, it would be really great to just like spring that on him.
Did
at
you
one
know
point.
That this was going to happen?
No, that's what I mean. So if this segment hadn't been created just now, I would continue to hold on to this for a long time.
You realize that you kind of – and maybe this was part of your plan, like squandered numerous opportunities for us to talk about something.
I know.
You and I could have had so many conversations.
And well, we can, though. The door's been open.
Assuming that
Joe's still playing it.
Joe goes back to it occasionally.
Even if I'm not playing it, I'll still talk to him about
it. Well, the replay value of that game is amazing.
It's immense.
Are you still playing it?
I have two different games. I have one on my work computer and one on my home computer.
You have one on your work computer?
Yeah.
Man.
I'm jealous.
Better make sure your boss doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, he's fine. But yeah, I've been playing RimWorld for a long time, and it's a wonderful game, and it's hilarious that I kept that from you guys.
Well, this turned me.
I think that's amazing.
And now I feel great because I don't think there's any other secrets I have from anybody in the world right now.
Do you feel lighter?
I do. I feel lighter than air.
Now that we know.
I could definitely be a dog now.
As a side effect, I respect Sean more as a gamer.
I led into this segment by saying that I don't usually agree with your video game choices, so I'm impressed.
Oh, I'm slightly less disgusted by your gaming habits.
I've never gotten even close to like winning the game.
I mean
that's really hard.
It's really hard and takes a long time.
But I've played like probably six or seven different. No, more than that. I've played maybe 10 plus colonies to varying degrees of success. But there are two long running colonies I have that I'm quite fond of.
Who's your go-to storyteller?
Oh, it's Randy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this turned into a RimWorld segment.
We can talk more after the cast, but...
Listen, to anyone who doesn't know, Randy is pretty hardcore because everything is random.
Yes.
He doesn't care where your civilization is at.
Yeah.
He might suddenly throw just like a giant siege at you or have money fall from the sky or fire. It's just...
Yeah.
That does sound a little bit more interesting.
Hardcore. It keeps you on your toes for sure.
Yeah. And you can have like two colonists, and then they send a raid with like 10 people.
I can kind of see how this relates to your love for sports games because when you play sports games, you're mostly micromanaging, right?
Yes, you're managing and you're setting up. This gives me my best chance of success, and then you see how it plays out.
Yeah.
And so you're not active. You could be active if you want to. You can select the characters in RimWorld or in a sports game and control them. Or you can kind of sim it a little bit and let them do it based on what you want them to do. And either way, it's very fulfilling and it's unpredictable. And it's a lot of fun.
I think this is like a reverse guilty pleasure. It's like if you...
It's a great game. It'd be like...
a guilty pleasure would be like...
that he's been keeping it
secret. Yes, exactly.
It would be like Joe saying... I've been playing NBA 2K20.
Oh, I know. Yeah,
that would be
sure.
Like
that'd be a
that's yeah, but this it'd be similar mode. Similar level.
It is similar. Yeah,
yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Yeah. So, what about you, Joe?
I've been playing NBA 2K20.
Oh, it's so dope.
Only on managerial mode.
Oh man.
No. Okay. So this is also a video game. There's nothing wrong with the series, but not a lot of dudes play it.
All right.
I Leisure Suit Larry. I have every version and every expansion of The Sims ever.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Okay.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, including the newest island one that introduced mermaids.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Sims.
Yeah. I was just playing Sim City earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most recent one, which everybody shits on all the time.
Sure.
Yeah. Mostly because of that always on shit. Yeah. Got to be online to play it.
Which is stupid.
I'm kind of surprised by that. Although not, I mean, it actually meets a lot of the criteria that you enjoy in video games.
Yes, I like to play house in video games.
Just which not in real
is
life.
Actually true.
Well, so what is it about? Do you have like one long game that you've been adding expansions to, or do you just start a new game when new versions come out, or
both.
How does that work? Both?
Depends. I play a family or lineage until I get tired of it, and then I'll start a new one.
You know it's serious when you say lineage, because that's multiple families and generations.
There are things in the...
What's the oldest family you've played?
I've never gotten the generational achievement, which would be 50 generations.
Oh my god, that's a long
but I have
time.
Played I have played to 36 generations.
Oh my god, 36 lifetimes.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm serious. Like, to keep people alive. I mean, I'm sure it's not as cutthroat as RimWorld.
Oh, no, absolutely
but,
not.
But still, like, people can die in The Sims, and you can, you know.
And they do.
You kept the family line for that long. That's amazing.
Yeah, you just, I mean, as soon as they're old enough, you make them fuck and have children. And
yeah.
All right. Well, I have a number of video game guilty pleasures, but I feel like you guys already know those ones.
Yes.
Like, World of Warcraft, for example. Lineage. You guys remember Lineage? It's funny that word just came up.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Anthem. I'm actually playing that right now, which, again, everybody hates, except for me, apparently.
Okay.
But no, I was going to go with a TV show. Not a TV show. Well, so I mentioned earlier that I watched Outlander, which to me kind of seems like an admission of a guilty pleasure.
Okay.
Because that show, you know, it's based on basically romance novels. But it's really good. It's a really good show.
All right.
That wasn't going to be my choice, though. My choice was going to be Hallmark movies at Christmas time.
Oh, God. Oh,
yeah. Man.
Really?
So they're terrible. I acknowledge that they're, like, really, really bad.
Yeah.
And they're
almost like they're purposefully bad.
They're all, like, exactly the same. But you guys know how much I love Christmas.
Yeah.
I do.
And I just like to have that shit going in the background sometimes.
You just want all Christmas stuff all the time.
I do, yeah.
Even if it's horrible.
I mean, usually I'm paying attention to maybe like 60% of the plot. You know,
that's a lot.
You ever watch? You ever watch one from? It was from 2009, A Christmas Angel.
I'm sure he has.
Has Bruce Dickinson in it?
Bruce Dickinson, gold plated diapers.
That's right, Bruce Dickinson.
Bruce Dickinson.
I have not
a fever.
I watch that almost every Christmas because you know I have the personal long-standing Christmas tradition of usually Christmas Eve after like family stuff is over, I will just open a bottle of scotch and binge watch Christmas movies until like 4 a.m.
I like this tradition.
Oh, it's great.
I like pretty much all Christmas traditions.
I try to focus on, I like ones where Santa is real. That's
that's a good.
Those are the best to me. But A Christmas Angel.
What do you mean? Like, there's an alternative?
What was that?
To Santa being real?
Well, there's lots of Christmas movies where they have to maintain this, you know, the fakeness, or they have to maintain.
What are you talking about?
What are you talking about?
I mean, it'd be a crazy movie if they said Santa wasn't real.
He's totally real.
What other kind of movies would there be?
Did you see that? There's a Netflix movie with Kurt Russell.
I totally saw that last.
What was
Christmas.
That called again?
The Christmas Chronicles.
That was good. That was actually quite good.
Chronicles. Yeah.
I enjoyed that. Good.
Very different interpretation of Santa.
It absolutely was.
Yeah. Was he like a bad Santa?
No, he's a bit hipper.
Hipper.
He's hipper. He's more fit.
Yeah. Okay.
He's very angry about all the iconography of him being fat.
But my love for Christmas overcomes my need to watch quality cinema, apparently.
Yeah.
Can't really call it cinema.
Listen, dude,
it's TV.
Let me tell you. If you're going deep into a bottle of scotch on Christmas Eve, you just queue up like the sappy movies towards like when you're going to be right in the drunken zone.
Yeah.
And that shit'll hit you hard and in just the right way.
Wow, Wow, I feel like we've unburdened ourselves.
I do too. This is a very therapeutic segment.
Yeah, yeah.
You feel unburdened?
I do. I feel unburdened. I can speak openly about RimWorld.
You always could have.
And I feel like we all learned a little bit about each other.
I think almost all of my friends know I play The Sims.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the spirit of Christmas, gentlemen.
I think the real reward is the friends we made along the way.
Or Father Winter in The Sims.
Sure.
It's non-religion specific.
There you go.
You better ring that goddamn bell. You said Father Winter. Get out of here. Get out of here.
We're going to me next. And, gentlemen, I believe the two of you did some homework for this next segment.
Oh, shit, yes.
And, Sean, what is this homework brought to us by?
It's time for a new suit. You want fine, affordable clothing that'll make you look as good as you feel. You want a dress for success. And you're a caveman. At Caveman's Warehouse, you'll find an assortment of leopard skin one-piece suits, dinosaur leather shoes, and mammoth skin ties. The latest in prehistoric fashion. Caveman's Warehouse. You're gonna like the way you look. Ooga booga.
Oh, thanks, Sean. So in the late 80s and 90s, late 80s, early 90s, several video games were made as thinly veiled advertisements, often incorporating mascots. This was to combat the limitation on advertising during like Saturday morning cartoons.
Right.
There were ways to just force brands down kids' throats.
Like, inundate them with it.
Yeah, just inundate them. Like Domino's with Yonoid, 7-Up with the Cool Spot, McDonald's with MC Kids, Cheetos with Chester Cheetah, Too Cool a Fool. And I challenge the two of you to come up with modern day video games that were thinly veiled advertisements.
Yeah.
So, Sean, tell us about your game.
Well, guys, my game is called The Most Interesting Video Game in the World. And it stars the Dos Equis guy. You get to play as the Dos Equis guy, and you get to go through time, through history with him, through major events, and he's the hero of all of these major events. So you've got, you know, it's set up sort of like The Witcher. You've got different missions and quests.
It's a high-budget game.
I know it is. Well, it's the most interesting game in the world.
It's got a point.
Yes. But along the way, while you're solving all of these mysteries and achieving greatness, the only way that you can build up your interesting meter is by drinking Dos Equis. The more beer you drink, the more interesting you become.
But he doesn't always drink beer.
He doesn't, but when he does...
he makes it Dos Equis.
How does the rest of that go? I'm sorry.
I forget. The point is that this is the video game. Much like Sonic needs rings, much like Mario needs coins, the Dos Equis guy needs Dos Equis.
Wow.
That's my game.
Just advertising beer to children.
This is, that's great. Yes.
And telling them that you're only interesting if you drink a lot of it.
Well, when you drink beer.
Yes,
but
you don't always drink beer.
Right.
Sometimes you drink.
You're always drinking, but sometimes.
Yes, you can drink other spirits.
They do ask you at the end to please drink responsibly.
Of course.
That'll do the trick.
So
yes, we definitely always drink responsibly here on A Little Nonsense.
Yeah, of course. At the very end of the 75-hour-long game, in tiny print in the bottom of the screen, it says, please drink responsibly.
Wouldn't it be better if the character himself just turned to the... turned to your screen, to the camera, and said, always drink responsibly.
Yeah, well, he could do that, sure.
Remember, friends. Remember, my friends. Always drink responsibly.
Something like that. But he also, so the more you drink, though, the camera is going to get wobbly and woozy.
Oh, so you got to balance that.
Yes, yeah. You got to balance that. So you do have to drink responsibly. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to, kill witches and demons or whatever the fuck you got to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I only about exists this a lot. When you get drunk.
That's right. When you get drunk, it's a double-edged sword.
There's no magic until
isn't that
you're drunk.
All
yeah,
swords.
I remember there being a lot of magic in the commercials.
Two edges?
No.
No?
No, there's lots of swords that don't have two
Why
edges.
Why would you make a sword with only one edge?
Because you'd want to slash with it.
That's dumb.
Like a katana?
Well, why wouldn't it be like better to have a sword with two edges?
Like a katana?
Like a saber?
Wouldn't you want a sword with two edges, though? What's the downside of having two edges?
You're riding on a horse, for example. Uh-huh. You might want a curved blade with an edge. One edge. Because, you know, you slash.
The more you know, rainbow just appeared over my head.
Now we're going to talk about swords.
Tell us about your game.
I didn't come up with a name for my game.
Okay.
But it's a hostess game. Okay.
Okay.
Where it's actually a massively multiplayer online game.
Of course it is.
And you control this a really badly customizable variation of a marshmallow person.
All right.
Like basically just a blatant ripoff of Mallow or Kirby.
Kirby.
Yeah. Sure.
And you get loot boxes and consumables and upgrades by redeeming UPCs from Ding Dongs and Ho-Hos.
Oh, man.
Twinkies.
That's kind of genius.
So you gotta eat more Twinkies to get better gear in the game. So and other benefits.
Involve actually buying hostess products.
Yeah, it's both it's microtransactions that involve eating really, really unhealthy food.
I tell you, Mike's video game is definitely more profitable than mine is.
This is also more delicious.
There's a lot of eating of delicious treats.
Man, you're going to really set those kids up to shoot themselves with insulin.
You got loot boxes.
Mike has made the whole world diabetic.
The pharmaceutical companies are thanking you.
I've also increased Hostess's stock value by $17 a share. Yes. So
they were previously 50 cents, so that's amazing.
I'm sure it'd be a really great game, too. Really enjoyable game.
Yeah, you're going to get the best.
It would never get any updates or anything. It's just...
No updates.
It's got the graphics of like a Nintendo 64. You know, but kids are addicted to it.
Yeah.
Mostly because they like Twinkies so much.
I love it. I love it. I want to play it right now.
Well, I think the game I came up with is going to be the most actual fun.
All right.
This is a survival horror multiplayer game.
Okay.
Kind of like the Friday the 13th game.
Right.
Where, you know, several people play camp counselors and one person is Jason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Except it's reversed. One person will be running away from everyone else playing the game.
All right.
Interesting.
Yeah. Everyone else will be playing, you know, they'll be able to create their own avatar. They'll be creating a child avatar.
Okay.
And the one person who has to, you know, run and hide and escape, they have magic to aid them in creating illusions, rainbow bridges to get away. The one person is playing Lucky the Leprechaun, and all of the children are trying to get his lucky charms.
Yeah, that actually
sounds like a lot of fun.
That would be a fun game.
It's almost like, it's like playing Capture the Flag, but when you have the flag, you have special powers.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Every round, one person is lucky, and their goal is to run out the clock, keeping possession of their lucky charms.
Yeah, that's great.
That sounds like a game I might play.
I would absolutely play this game, then probably buy Lucky Charms.
You know what this game reminds me of? Lucky Charms. Gotta get some of those.
To the store!
Ring-a-ling a ding-dong, bitch.
Jesus Christ, Mike.
Bitch.
Shauna.
Bitch.
I understand you have a game for us.
I do. It's a game I'm very excited about, and it's going to be really competitive, and God, I'm very excited.
Mike, what is this game that Sean's super excited brought to us by?
It's brought to us by Crunchity Munchums. When you've got a craving for salty, delicious crunchiness with just the mildest hint of swamp, nothing quite satisfies like Crunchity Munchums. It's a bag of really old dead frogs with cheddar. So grab a bunch of munchity crunchity munchums today and probably see a doctor. Back to you.
Dead frogs?
Yeah.
Why?
They're much crunchier when they're dried out and dead.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
And then we powder some delicious cheddar on them.
We still have the ad guy in the studio. This is amazing.
Gotta go.
All right, boys. This game, you guys better get fucking focused and ready.
I'm right. definitely not.
You know how to play the alphabet game?
No, actually.
If I were to say the alphabet game with food, we'd start with Joe. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Joe, you would say?
Asparagus, something like that.
Apples.
He would have won.
Yeah, Mike, then you would say?
Do I have to go to B?
Yeah.
Or can I just do like something?
That works.
Can I just do something farther down in the A category?
No, you go to the next letter of the alphabet.
Okay, well, bananas. Apples, okay. Bananas.
So, et cetera, et cetera.
Chocolate.
No, well, we're done. This is not the game. Joe's like, I wasn't playing the game. I want chocolate.
I kind of do.
Here's what we're doing. We're going to do the alphabet game.
You know, there's chocolate Lucky Charms now.
Jesus Christ. We're going to do the alphabet game, but we're going to do it with Star Wars characters. It's going to be Joe versus Mike. You can use the extended universe or legends.
Oh, man.
You can use first or last names, and we're going to go back and forth however many times through the alphabet we need to until one of you is stumped.
Well, okay.
I'm going to say stumped is 30 seconds of blank thought.
Oh, so 30 whole seconds?
We might edit some of that out, but yeah.
Well, definitely.
Well, but I'm saying...
Right, yeah, that's the requirement for you.
For me, you lose if you go 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Without answering.
Do you want to use my bell when that time elapses?
Sure.
All right, who's starting? I feel a little rusty on this category,
We're going to start with Joe. All right. We're going to just go clockwise here around the table.
All right.
And your time begins now.
Admiral Akbar.
Boba Fett.
Calrissian, Lando Calrissian.
Darth Vader.
Eeth Koth.
Figrin Dan.
Nice. Master of the Cluehorn.
That's right.
Greedo.
Han Solo.
IG-88.
Seems like you had that one locked and loaded. Jabba.
Kip Duron.
Nice, good pull.
I hate that kid.
What is that from?
He's from the Kevin J. Anderson Jedi Academy trilogy. So we're on L now?
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You already used Lando.
Yeah, we already
Joe
used.
Joe did.
Yeah, the most obvious one. But Leia, I guess would be the most obvious one.
Mon Mothma.
Nian Num. Nunb. I don't know how to pronounce that last name. I never could figure that out.
Bail Organa.
Very good.
Yeah, sure. Padme Skywalker.
Would Kaizen Fess from Star Wars The Old Republic count?
Absolutely. Any Star Wars...
Yeah, no, we're talking about Legends also.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
So we're R to Mike.
Rey.
Rey what, Mike?
Rey...
Sebulba.
Very good.
That's a really good one.
Poodoo.
T. You'd think T should be pretty easy.
Yeah.
Can I name like an animal? Does that count? Has to be
yes.
a character?
Animal's fine.
Tauntaun.
I don't know how you forgot Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, we got Tauntaun.
There's a lot of characters you have to sift through, Sean.
I know.
When you're actually
Joe,
in the hot seat.
Joe's
okay?
got you.
Who? All right. You.
And we've established you can use animals.
Apparently that is the case.
I know one. From episode 7.
What you've brought here today is worth one portion of water bread.
Yeah, I don't remember that dude's name.
Mm.
Well, if we can do animals, we can also do species.
Oh, what about Darth Umbral?
Oh, that's there a good go. One. Yeah, that's a good one.
V, Mike.
V. Boy.
you already used Darth Vader.
Yeah, well, if we're including legends, which we obviously are at this point, I'm going to say Master Vandar.
There you go.
From, again, Knights of the Old Republic.
Wedge. Wedge Antilles.
Oh, man, I got fucking X.
Mike X to you.
X. Ooh, there's a character.
There is one.
There's a character in the expanded universe.
There's a prince. Is that who you're thinking of?
Well, Prince Shizor. Yeah,
yes.
That works.
Yeah. Y. Yoda. Yoda. Perfect. Z, Mike.
Z.
Z.
Z. Z. Z. Z. Ooh.
There's quite a few you got to choose from here.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome.
Zev.
Zev Kaneska.
Yes.
That's right. He finds
Zev Kaneska.
Han and Luke on Hoth.
Oh, man.
We're back to A, Joe.
Oh, God, we got
to
start over. We did one for every letter.
You did. Very good.
Except for Tauntaun. But I suppose that
there's only 26 letters in the alphabet.
Ayla Secura.
Mike B.
Bilbo Baggins. I was kidding about that.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I got it.
Oh, Bastila Shen.
I would have also accepted Biggs Darkling.
We might get back to B.
Well, then you can use it.
This game's going to be an hour and a half long.
No, it's not. Joe, C.
I'm on C?
Yeah.
Chewbacca.
Oh, my God.
What did you think you were on?
I don't know, man.
Okay, well, D. D is Dengar.
E, Joe.
You've got
an Ewan McGregor.
It's got to be a Star Wars character.
I think we got him.
Yeah, I'm just blanking.
Let's do a countdown.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Isn't there a dude named like as in Evan? God damn it, I'm blanking.
Perhaps you were thinking of Dr. Cornelius Evazan.
Maybe you were.
Yeah.
Did you just pull a list of every single Star Wars character and alphabetize it?
I did, yeah.
That's amazing.
That was a tough one. They got all the way through the alphabet, though, folks. How about a round of applause?
Yeah, like 1.28 times.
That was great. Well done. Well done. Mike is the winner of the negative point. Joe, you still brought honor to your family.
Thank you.
I'm going to admit also that I didn't have an answer for E either at that time. So it was the luck of the draw.
Yeah. I appreciate that.
That was a tough one. There's not very many E's.
It'd be really funny if I just said psych and listed like 25 characters. E.
There is, of course, EV9D9.
Oh, that's right. Of course.
Only like at the last minute did I start thinking about droid names.
You are a protocol droid, are you not? That's Eevee, right?
Yes.
Well, gentlemen, that's the end of our episode. And with a score of 3, Sean is our loser.
All right.
Yeah. So feel some shame.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's just end every episode that way.
That's going to be a staple for me from now on. Yeah. Howard Dean yell.
The
Dean scream, baby.
Before that happens anymore because it hurts my ears and my soul.
Yeah.
That's it for this week. I'm Joe Moracle.
I'm Sean Keller.
And I'm Mike Pareto.
Have a great week, everyone.
Yeah!
A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mailhole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary. Mingle a little folly with your wisdom and you could be jolly. A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men.